Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the conference call with HEG Management hosted by Jefferies India. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal the operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Piyush Nahar. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Lita. Good evening, everyone. Thank you for joining the call. This is Piyush from the Jefferies India Research Team. We have with us Dr. Ajay, the CEO and promoter of Healthcare Global. We also have Dr. Bharat, the regional head of Gujarat region, and Mr. Anand, the director of projects, and Neeraj from the IR team. The call is to discuss the current situation around COVID in India and its impact on the hospitals, including it. So without further ado, I'll hand it over to Neeraj from the IR team to take it over. Neeraj, over to you. Thank you.
Thanks, Piyush, and apologies for a slight delay. We have multiple people joining from different areas and we had some technical issue. So a warm welcome to everyone from HEG, India's leading specialized healthcare institution across oncology, fertility and precision diagnostics. As you said, setting the context for the call, we would like to keep the discussions pertinent to the COVID crisis and responses that the society as well as us at HEG are jointly providing in these challenging times. We are in our silent period and hence would refrain from providing any specific financial or operating guidance regarding the business. And the comments from the management are intended to share qualitative perspective on the situation and should not be considered as a material disclosure. With this, I would like to hand over the call to Dr. Ajay Kumar, Chairman and CEO of HEG.
Good evening and welcome to all. And as Neeraj has given the introduction, I just want to say a few words. I do know we are in difficult times, unexpected in the last 2 weeks. Things have taken a turn because of the COVID. And one of the things I want to convey here is clearly we do know that COVID is a global phenomena and it has affected India, but for whatever reasons, compared to the countries like in China or European countries, as well as US, we have not yet seen that high numbers what has been seen elsewhere. The fear, of course, is at what point are we going to see the numbers? Or are we going to escape from it? So if the curve flattens, obviously, it's good news for us. And maybe there is some news that some of the cities are showing some flattening of the curve. With this anyway, it's anybody's guess what will happen because the WHO and a few others are saying things can get far worse, as you know. And whereas, you know, there are people who are saying with the advent of summer and humidity, it may slow down. Like any flu, normally it has to subside in a particular season. So without going much details into that, all I would like to say is the definitely at some point it'll come to an end. And because of the lockdown and the measures which have been taken by the government, which in a way are very positive from the disease viewpoint, we are going to see some decrease in the footfall. But one of the things I want to say clearly before I ask our Bharat or Anand to say from the ground zero level what's happening, I would like to say that in HCG system across the 25 centers, we have not seen any single case of COVID positive, either in the patients or in the healthcare staff. We have taken utmost measures to make sure our staff are protected, our doctors who are on the front line are protected, because in oncology we do see people come with infections, fever, symptoms, but so far we have not had any single case. And we have taken extreme measures even during the surgery, chemotherapy, radiation. With all this, the patients are actually comfortable coming for treatments and taking, and their safety, of course, and their relatives have been protected with all the measures we have taken. Apart from that, one of the things I would like to say here is that there has been issue with the transportation because we do see patients coming from different cities. And particularly the international patients, has come to a trickle or no international patients since the embargo on the travel, international travel. So with this, we are not going to be seeing international patients until the airlines are open to bring in international patients, which could take another 3 to 4 weeks. So that is one impact we have seen. Second, we are, of course, within the country, being a center of excellence, we do patients who come in from different parts of country. That has also slowed down, and now in the last 2 weeks, since the domestic flights have been cancelled, we are not seeing any patients on the trains. So with all this, we are continuing to give treatment to the patients who are here, and we'll continue to provide the service for the patients. We are now been following the guidelines which have been given by the International Oncology Group, where they have said clearly that the patients with oncology need to be treated, and we cannot deny treatments. What we don't want to happen is patients are denied treatment and their disease progresses, so we will have a collateral damage. We don't want that to happen. So we have been in the media talking to the government, talking to the authorities to see that our patients somehow get treatment. One of the innovative ways we have done now is what we have done is a tumor board, virtual tumor board, which we always had, but we have augmented that to a different level using with Microsoft, where we are very happy to say that we are, with great clarity, we've been able to provide patient clinical opinion, treatment plan, protocols. Just today, I myself conducted that for patients from across India, and where we saw several patients, and the feedback from the patients has been very good. This is one area where we'll take it forward. We have a call-in service where patients can call to understand about their symptoms. We have identified a significant number of doctors who will be doing the call-in, answering the call with the information and giving them the comfort so that some of them don't have to panic. And whenever there are no transportation others are available, they will be able to make. Within the local places where we are in the 20 centers, we have made transportation arrangements so that patients can actually come. We are helping them to reach the destination for the treatment. So these are all the measures we have taken, and also we are protecting the staff with various measures, and we continue to look forward in the cutting edge areas where our staff and the patients could be protected. And so far we have been very successful, as I said above. So with this, I will ask, maybe Bharat to say a few words about what is happening in Gujarat area, how the management is happening with HCG. And then Anand can talk about other areas and also Bangalore area.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Ajay Kumar. Thank you, sir. So I'm Dr. Bharat Gadvi. And as our chairman has said, that this is an unprecedented situation. And initially for a few days, there was definitely people didn't know what is going on. And gradually we have started working on ensuring that those patients who require radiotherapy, chemotherapy, that is continued. Maybe 1 or 2 days there was some disruption, but we have been able to get on with it. And now those patients who were already on radiotherapy, they are being continued. Chemotherapy also, the same thing is happening. New patients definitely from outside the cities is a restriction because of the movement restriction. But those who are in the cities, they are being called and are being informed about how to reach and whatever support they require in terms of a letter, etc., from the hospital, that is being given to them so that the authorities do not stop them. And that's how we have ensured a continuity of care for those who are already on treatment. We have also started the online consulting. It has been done from today, and this will go on till the lockdown is there, and we'll be able to provide the treatment, provide the management wherever it's possible, wherever they can turn up, and wherever we find that the disease cannot wait for the treatment. So as such also, cancer is a disease where if we wait for a long time, there are chances that they may go to a stage where it becomes untreatable. So we don't want that to happen. On the multi-specialty side, we are seeing a lot of emergencies, and being a multi-specialty, we have ensured that those patients coming with respiratory symptoms, a separate OPD and emergency room has been created, which is away from the main building. It's away from the regular ER, so that there is no chance of any cross infection. And we have been following the guidelines that have been published by multiple societies, by the CDC, ensuring that after every touch, irrespective of the patient is a suspect or not, the cleaning protocols are being followed on a regular basis. All the staff have been properly trained how to change their lifestyle to ensure that they are touching the minimum surfaces, and their hand hygiene is being taken care of properly. And we have coined the term called as medical distancing or clinical distancing, wherein we ensure that as far as possible, the contact with the patient is less than 15 minutes. If the distance between the patient and the clinician or the healthcare worker, healthcare provider is less than 2 meters, that has been widely publicized that if the time taken is less, there are hardly any chances of infection. Of course, the basic precautions like wearing a 3-ply surgical mask, and in case if a close procedure has to be done, wearing a respirator and N95, etc. These are all being followed to ensure that all the staff are protected.
Thanks, Bharat. Anant, maybe you can say a few words.
Thanks, Doctor. Thanks, Bharat. This is Anand. Just three, four points. I think one is we are keeping the hospital area safe. We have organized transport and food actually for the required people inside the hospital at each one of our hospital, so that they don't get in touch with any external factors. So they get picked up, they come, they are there, and then they eat inside the hospital and go back. This takes care of one aspect. Second one is for all the people who are entering the hospital, which is one attendant per patient, that too for IP. Otherwise, we are not encouraging more attendants to come in, and everyone is cooperating, and everyone is pretty, so awareness has been very high. So everyone has been pretty cooperative on that. There are a lot of checklist from the security side to even handle this. So it has been well appreciated and well coordinated. Third point is around nursing and doctors, a lot of protective gear for all the nurses and the doctors and frontline people. So, you know, that is being taken care of. The last one is about patients. We are running the operations or treating of patients as if pre-COVID era. There has been some shortage of footfalls, but with all the protection and with all the safety measures, we have been running it because a lot of radiation and chemotherapies were going on, and that had to continue, and we continue with that. And as far as patients are concerned, Dr. Ajay and Bharat spoke about virtual OPDs that we are aggressively pushing so that we reach out to patients, and only if patients are required to come to hospital, we are getting them. We have made transport arrangements for the patients to come and go back because of the lockdowns and things like that. One of the issues we are facing now is interstate movements where people come from different states or close by states. That is something we are addressing as we talk. That we'll quickly address with their transportation and how to get them and how to handle them inside. In fact, we have organized in every hospital 8-10 rooms for the people or staff to stay, and also if some patients who come from outside can attendance, anything, all that kind of support can be provided. So these are some of the safety measures that we have taken. as we talk, what we are trying to do is to really extend the there used to be a peak period, you know, a couple of peaks inside the hospital. We are working with the doctors to spread that peak over what used to happen, let's say, in 3 hours in two peak periods. We are trying to see if we can we can spread that over 12 hours, 15 hours in a day, so that we maintain social distancing and it's a very safe place without losing the volume. So we are getting, we are preparing ourselves for a for an increase, because people would be waiting for a week, 10 days, 12 days, but after that, I think people will start coming in, and we are preparing ourselves like a 12, 15 hours spread of all this. We are requesting doctors to spread their OPDs in different timelines so that the OPDs don't get crowded, the IPs don't get crowded, the front office don't get crowded. Some of these measures we are taking. And all the HODs of all the medical departments are following the global guidelines like ASCO, hematology, so all of them. And we are talking to each other every day for at least an hour to make sure that everything falls in place. That's from my side.
Yeah, thanks, Anant. Before we go to question and go to Neeraj, I just want to say a few general comments. You know, as we do more testing, one of the criticism which has come across is, are we doing enough testing? Thanks to the government, now they have opened it up for private labs to do, and we are a major partner with Strands, and Strand Life Sciences is one of the labs based out of Gurgaon, our lab where we are able to do now. We are hoping in the next 5 to 6 days, validation is going on, and there is no issue for any kits, sufficient supply of kits is there from the last discussion I had with the Strands people. So we should be able to do significant number of tests. There are similar labs across India, some of them claiming they can do thousands of tests per day. So obviously, if we really do the tests, it could have a positive, and also it could be positive in terms of identifying who are negative, and that can provide safety for our doctors and the patients also, that assurance. But it can also show some asymptomatic people can become show positive, and that could also increase the numbers. So we should be, A, be prepared for the numbers to increase. B, we should also look at the safety point of view. It could be a big plus. India being, land of youngsters and youth, I think what we should also focus on elderly people, because really youth will not succumb to this disease historically. And by this data we have, it is mostly people who are above 60, 65, who are diabetes, who have chronic lung disease or smokers. So we need to start focusing on that if this disease is going to stay for long. So that is what we are headed to, maybe, if the disease persists, unless it kind of start decreasing due to the seasonal changes. So we hope with more testing, we will get a real answer whether to truly the numbers are low as we are seeing now, or is it going to be significantly high. And by some estimate, the fact the lockdown and the spacing itself in India, I think, will decrease the incidence significantly. That is our hope and best bet that this will happen. We will know in the next 2 weeks how the trend is. With this, I think I will hand it back to Neeraj. Neeraj,
you can. Yes. Thank you, Doctor. Thanks, Anant and Dr. Bharat, for the summary. So before we go into questions and answers, the last thing I want to summarize with is the nature of HCG business, so that everybody understands it very clearly. Over 80% of our total revenues come purely from cancer care. Cancer care is, compared to other procedures, a non-elective procedure. The treatments are long duration and ongoing, and it is critical to maintain continuity of care. And the other aspect of the business and the procedures that I would expect everybody to understand is also, we are a lot more into outpatient and day care procedures. So in cancer care, apart from surgeries, which is inpatient, where the patient may be required to be hospitalized and stay in the hospital for a couple of days post-operative care, radiation and chemo are pretty much day care procedures for a couple of hours. So those are the two aspects that differentiate us from other multi-speciality hospitals, which is the non-elective nature and the outpatient nature. So with that, I would hand over the call to Piyush. Hi. We can open up for Q&A, Lizanne.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin with the question and answer session. Anyone wishing to ask a question, may please press star and one on your touch-tone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handset while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants who wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. We'll go ahead with the first question. That is from the line of Vishal Biraia from Aviva Life Insurance. Please go ahead.
So my question is as to, because of the lockdown, there is a decline in the inpatients, and this might lead to a scenario for us where the revenue dips and the operating profits dip. So how do we plan to compensate, and how do we plan to meet the shortfall in the coming few months, which may impact on our balance sheet? Do we plan to borrow this amount?
No.
Any perspective on this?
Yeah. What we have done is we have carefully planned the month of March and the April so far, and also we have taken into account May. We have taken the actual revenue, what the expected revenue shortfall will be. Accordingly, we have calculated what will be our profitability, and based on that, we have looked at various measures where we have taken what is our, for example, lot of our cost, fixed cost has been reduced significantly proportionately. We have also reduced the non-fixed cost, whereby we have brought it down to the level where we feel we will not incur any loss as such. And with this, in the month of March, we have managed very successfully. And we think even the month of April, we'll be able to manage with all the measures we have taken, which could involve HR measures, which could involve non-HR, all the areas when people work from home, we have taken into all those considerations, and we have put a plan internally. And I don't want to go into more details. All I want to say at this point is we are not certainly going to plan to borrow more. Not, that is not the intention.
Okay. So could you help us?
Pardon?
What are the cost-cutting measures that you've undertaken, and what could be the quantum?
Basically. So yeah, I know we were not going to give you the quantum. What we are doing, we proportionate to the revenue we have done, cost-cutting measures. If the revenue is down 30-40%, what are the measures we have taken? It could be, like I said, HR measures is the first one. Second is, some of the, measures, like for example, we would have had a marketing expense related, international expense, all of that has been cut back. So with all that measures we have taken, and we have done the internal calculation, we feel we are quite, and there will be, obviously the work will go on, the hospitals will function, nurses will be there, doctors will be there. So the less number of people will be required during this time. That is how we are managing, with less HR requirement. With that, we will be able to overcome this period. But obviously cancer is cancer. Cancer is not going to go away. And certainly we are going to see the cancer patients coming back, and there will be resurgence because the number of patients will come. And we have also put together a plan when the patients come, how do we get this back to normal.
Okay, so at least for the next few months, you don't intend to borrow to meet the shortfall?
No.
Okay. So the other question is, has the government asked you to reserve certain beds for COVID-19 patients?
No, because we are oncology, a super specialty hospital, most of our hospital being super specialty, they have not asked us. And the thinking in the government right now is that, at least in Karnataka and few other states, is that they cannot mix the general patients with the COVID patients. It could be actually particularly with oncology and all, they are already immunosuppressed, so it could be rather dangerous. So what governments have proposed is to create, which we are supportive of as doctors, as hospital, and as the association, is to support government in establishing COVID hospitals, which they are doing. In Karnataka, they have done some, and elsewhere, even Gujarat and elsewhere, in Andhra Pradesh. So these COVID hospitals, we will help them with providing necessary, you know, if they need shortfall of ventilators, personnel. We are putting together a plan as and when it arises, that we will certainly help all the way we can with the necessary infrastructure for them, particularly ventilators and whatever. We will be more than happy to help. That is the assurance we have given. But we hope the need won't be there. As of now, certainly number of patients we have, the need is not there, but we have to wait and see what happens. If it happens like what is happening in New York or Italy, certainly, you know, we all have to pitch in and help.
Sure. The last question on the testing, COVID-19 testing, as to what are the kind of policies that you have with Strand? What is the capacity to test? And
we can do 40-50 cases per day or even more. We have several units which are capable of doing it. All of them have been approved by ICMR, but we may be able to do even hundreds. So as and when the, you know, we validate and get it to the level volume-based, we can certainly run the strip several times a day. So we are looking at that. It takes about, it may take up to 5 hours to 8 hours to get the result. But right now the transportation in Delhi area we can do, but transporting it from others is an issue. We have to see how to do that. So we are geared up for all that. And there are also other labs which have come forward apart from Strands to say they can do similar numbers and some of them higher. So we are hope is that more number of testing will be done very quickly.
Okay. Thank you very much. I'll come back for more questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is on the line of Manoj, an investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you. My question is regarding the costs that we are facing at the moment. So due to lockdown and the measures that FCG has taken for to serving the local patients and to continue the business, what have we seen on the trend from perspective of fixed as well as variable costs?
Hi, Manoj. So this is Neeraj. So let me give you a perspective. We are not in a position to give future. The consolidated basis, our variable costs are roughly 30-35% as a percentage of revenue. And then we have fixed costs, which is close to 45-50%. So with a drop in revenues, obviously the variable costs also proportionately are lower. That is all we can tell you as the current situation on a consolidated basis. We will not be in a position to provide a future, you know, percentage guidance on cost, because obviously we'll have to see how revenues stack up, and we are monitoring this, you know, on a daily and a weekly basis. So for now, what we can tell you is that, you know, as a percentage of revenue, variable is 35, fixed is 45 to 50, and the balance is obviously the margin.
Okay, thank you. Actually my question was on the side of, due to the impact of lockdown and due to the COVID, are we estimating any increase in the fixed or variable costs due to the lockdowns, or any decrease, or are they going to remain somewhat similar?
Oh, we are not expecting any cost increase, Manoj. Certainly not.
Okay. Thank you. That's all from my side.
Thank you. The next question from the line of Rajiv D. from Faber Partners. Please go ahead.
Hello, this is Rajiv Maliwal. I wanted to just compliment all of you for the fabulous effort you are putting and will continue to put, not just through this crisis, but by treating cancer patients. And really hats off to you doctor, the entire team at HCG for being on the front lines and supporting healthcare and supporting everybody's health and well-being. So our best wishes and compliments to you and the team.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Raji. Thanks.
Thanks, Raj.
Thank you. Before we take the next question, we would like to remind participants that you may press star and want to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Mandy Lee from Bona Vista. Please go ahead.
Hi, management. I'd like to get an update on your fertility business during the COVID-19 impact. Also, I'd like to know how can we maintain the sufficient supply, medical supply?
Yeah. Regarding the COVID, you know, as we were, we have just checked everything for the next several weeks. We do not have an issue with the medical supply. We have a centralized medical system where we have necessary pharma, all the other medical supplies, consumables. So we are not seeing any issue until the lockdown period, which is going to be over by middle of March. However, having said that, if the lockdown period extends, we expect the government also to open areas for transportation. Already they are talking about cargo to be opened. If that happens, we do not expect any problem, and particularly major cities supplying is not be an issue. We have checked our supply chain as of yesterday, and we have checked with all our vendors, and they are ready to supply. We have not had any issues with either you know, pharma drugs, regular non-oncology drugs, oncology drugs, as well as no issues with you know, supplies in terms of masks, essentials. So we have been so far so good, and we were also well prepared for this. Once we saw this issue coming, we made sure there's sufficient number of these things are stored in our central storage, talking to our vendors. So we were somewhat well prepared. With that, we think we'll be able to overcome the crisis unless it extends beyond our what we are expecting in the next few weeks. If it goes to months, then we have to look at how to manage, and we hope the government and the authorities also see this as an issue and open it for supplies to be given to the hospitals.
And my question is on the fertility business.
Fertility, yeah. Fertility business, obviously, it's considered elective. So we are not seeing that many outpatients, but people who are already in the cycle, who are already had hormonal therapy and all, they will continue with that. So we have created again with them a virtual opinion, and they are also participating in that virtual opinion through the telemedicine. Starting, I think, next 2 days, they are also going to start. With that, we hope to give opinions to the patients and the families so they can be in the data collection will happen. They'll be on a roll. Once the things improve, they will start coming to our centers. So essentially what will happen is, because it is more elective, people who want to go through IVF therapy will postpone by a few weeks and come. So that is what we are hoping will happen.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to the participants, anyone wishing to ask a question, please press star and one. Participants, if you wish to ask a question, you may please press star and one. The next question is from the line of Piyush Nahar from Jefferies. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Thanks, sir. I just had a couple of questions more on the COVID testing. So you talked about that as the testing increases, we may see more detection. But at least in the multi-specialty, are you seeing an increase in patients with respiratory diseases coming in more?
No, not yet. You know, we are not seeing
not yet.
It.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Not yet. Right?
And what the government is also, see, the issue has been, Vivish, that the government ICMR had given some guidelines. For example, the symptoms, what are the symptoms should be? They are looking at, for example, fever, running nose, sore throat, myalgia, how many days it has to be, and then only, do they meet the criteria. There are five criteria they have to meet in order to do the test. Just to give you a couple of examples, I know somebody who had fever, who got a little bit concerned. They wanted to get the test done, but the center where they do the testing approval, they said no need. The patient just actually had a sore throat. It's actually not a patient. It's one of the doctors. Had a sore throat fever at home. They recovered and they're back to work. There is no issue on that. And similarly, we had a few cases where they had in a multi-speciality some pneumonia. They thought fever. We did the test as negative. So essentially, we are still going to have normal flu, fever, pneumonia, bacterial infection. They are not going to go away. Every fever is not going to be COVID fever. Every myalgia is not going to be, there is chikungunya. There is a lot of other diseases which are there. So this is only one more disease with it. So question is, who are those who are likely to have it? So we need to narrow it down, and who are at a high risk can do it for them. Okay? That is how I think we'll going forward. There are some tests which may be early indicators, but they indicate for all viral infection that IgG levels going up. Again, that could be because of a certain other immune response from the body. So we have to be very careful and do these tests on the people who need. Of course, one school of thought is let us do on everybody, because now the Abbott method, they say if it comes to, if it is really, as they're starting to do in US, it can do in minutes, then maybe, but also maybe that the flu season will go away. So we have to wait and see next few weeks.
Okay. And are they seeing any difference between the metros and tier 2, tier 3 cities in terms of the cases and all?
Our STD system, as I said, we have not seen. And if you look at Bangalore and Mumbai, areas are the high ones. If you go to tier 2 cities, except few places in Punjab and all, and Telangana, we are not seeing. For example, a city like Mysore or Hubli, hardly have seen like 10-12 cases. That too, they are from people who have traveled from other cities. So we are not seeing at level, but there is some concern whether, because of this migration and all, what we are seeing, whether it will spread to inner cities, inner part of the cities, like even slums and all that. But so far, what I have read, I have talked to the authorities in Bangalore, and Mumbai also, we have connected and talked. So far, they are saying nothing has happened. So we don't know whether they are beginning to see early signs or not. Next week or 10 days will tell us. As more labs open up, more tests are going to be done, we will get some answers.
Okay. And in terms of the footfall, is there any difference between what you are seeing in the metros and tier 2? Or is the similar
in
impact?
In fact, tier 2s are because people are, travel is the main problem. And wherever the buses are there or people have made some arrangement, we are seeing good footfall. But like in Mysore, for example, almost 80% of the patients are being treated. Okay. Whereas in cities like Bangalore, it has come down to more like 40, 50, 60%. So we have seen some difference. And Andhra Pradesh also, it's come down significantly. Whereas in place like Hubli, we have not seen that much drop, 80%. So it all depends on the network, people who can come. So it is kind of something, because oncology, as you know, is daily treatment. They have to come, radiation and all. That is where we are monitoring it. And it has been a drop of 25 to 30% in Mumbai.
Okay. Okay. And just lastly, there were some articles that you're working, doctors at HCG are working on some trial treatment and all.
Yeah, we have been, because we are a research lab, we have iCrest where we do a lot of T-cell therapy. And one of the things is a T-cell is the production of interferon. And interferon is can be extracted from mesenchymal cells and stem cells, so which we have been doing it. And that is, interferon is a modulator, immunomodulator, and it is actually a prescribed treatment for people with COVID positive symptomatic. So and it is usually done in a different way, whereas what we have done is a very way through the stem cells. We believe this could be effective and this could be produced in large amount. And we are trying to really work with the government, the controller, to see whether we could, it's not really a drug, it's an immunomodulator. We have got our ethics committee approval to test on 10 patients. So we are talking to the government also to see whether we could do a trial on 10 patients and to do the markers and monitor. So once they give an approval, we can do it. And based on that, we can decide whether this is something we should pursue on a larger scale. So, you know, we are just in the very initial phase of it. Okay?
Oh, sure. Thanks. I wish you all the luck for that.
Thanks.
Thanks. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Neeta Shetty from Tata AMC. Please.
Yeah, hi, Dr. Ajay. Thank you for this call. So what is the occupancy level right now across your hospitals?
The occupancy, as you know, we don't go by that occupancy. Normal occupancy for us is only 50-55%, you know. We are footfall is what more we look at. So our surgical load having come down and all occupancy. Anant, maybe you can answer more.
Yeah, let me just answer this. The chemotherapies are planned for over 4 to 6 weeks, and they are going on without any breakage, without any disturbance. Now, what we have seen is because in 2-4 days last week, there was some panic and since the OPD reduced, but we are at about 75-80% for medical oncology, which is continuing. On the radiation, again, because it goes on for 4 to 6 weeks, we are having almost about 70-80% utilization of the machines. Where we have got a little bit of this thing is on the surgery. Surgeries have dropped by about 40% or so, which was planned getting postponed and things like that. That is where we have seen a bit of drop, which we are seeing it may pick up after a week or so once people get comfortable with it. So largely on the daycare side, which is radiation and medical, there's not much of disturbance. There is a little bit of disturbance on the surgery side where people had to be operated.
Okay. So
and the main thing I want to say is it is not that the people don't want to come. See, unfortunately, in the first few weeks, the police preventing them from coming to the hospital, the system, no transportation, no trains, which is what has caused the hamper. I was interviewing some patients today in the video conference, and they are like a few patients that come. They said they have no issues. And now we are providing them some passes and letters so that they could show that and come. So I don't think we will have a problem in the drivable distance, people who have vehicles to come. Only people who don't have that kind of distance-wise, because, you know, HCG gets people from different distances. They will be hampered. For them, we are trying to arrange through video conferencing, give them the comfort and see how to even make arrangements. And we are also returned to the government to allow the some form of public transportation as part of essential service. So these people showing the passes can come with cancer, with required surgery. You know, they cannot be denied that I don't have any transportation. It's your lookout. You know, that is wrong on the part. And we have tried to address this with the authorities. They are certainly looking into it and see how to make it available.
Yeah. In fact, wherever people want to travel, we are organizing transport to get them also. So.
Okay. So how much would be the surgeries in terms of your total revenue contribution as of before the drop?
It will be, Amita, it will be at least 7-28%.
Okay. Sorry, can you repeat that?
It will be sub 30.
But I don't want you to look at short term because, you know, it's all, if the lockdown continues long time, obviously even the radiation patients will come down as the new patients decrease.
It is
short term is one, longer term, it all depends on what is going to happen by 15th of March, April, 15th of April. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. And second thing, when you said that, you know, certain costs you have altered and it will ensure that you don't have a loss at profitability level, that will be EBITDA level, in my understanding.
Yeah.
So when you say that if things get normal, you'll be able to load it up again. So what have you exactly done? Have you moved to consultant kind of setup for your human resource or HR kind of department, or because you mentioned that particularly? So.
So one of the things which all the industries are doing now is to give, like, for example, we have not formulated, once we've done it, we are looking at, we have already done some March, very small way, but we are looking at, giving, for example, people may have to, non-essential people may have to go on a leave without pay. So we are looking at some of those models. We have already initiated some, whereby, you know, our corporate costs could come down, our operating other non-essential services from home, they may have to work 2 days, like, or 3 days. So we are looking at various ways. I recently read that Maharashtra government has cut the salaries for all their government employees. So I think some of those, when government themselves are doing, we have to take some measures without, hurting the families, particularly paid employees who are at a lower end, like maybe 20, 30,000 per month. We want to make sure that it continues. For higher, they may have to make certain, way of giving so that they have a certain cut. And also now with the government, the RBI rules coming, they don't have to pay EMI and all, they don't have to worry about it. So we are doing it at a very personal level, assessing and seeing. So that will work. Once we roll it out, starting tomorrow, we are going to roll it out. That will help to cut down our entire lot of our HR costs. Similarly, we have worked out with a lot of the companies, vendors and others. So with all this and what the income we are going to generate, we have done some calculation based on that. We should be neutral.
Okay. And on this RBI moratorium, do we also get that?
We get the moratorium definitely for 3 months. And we have, for 3 months, there won't be any interest payment, which should be deferred. It is not like you don't have to pay.
Yeah.
It will be deferred.
Okay. And lastly, so we in the earlier calls have indicated about some value unlocking and some asset monetization kind of opportunities. Where exactly are we on that?
Yeah, we are working on that. Like I told in the last investor call, we are certainly looking at various options of fundraising also. And when that does happen, we will certainly make an announcement. Okay.
Okay. So it's still at the level that we are discussing levels, and we are still kind of.
Whatever I said in the investor call is still there.
Okay. Thank you so much, Dr. Ajay. Thanks.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that is the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Neeraj for his closing comment.
Thanks, Lizanne. And from HCG side was to provide an update specifically regarding what we are experiencing in the month of March, where first half of the March was normal. And we intend to keep everyone posted on future developments, including regarding our Q4 reporting and going forward from there. So thank you, everyone, for active participation. Thanks.
Thank you, Neeraj and the team. Thanks, everybody, for joining in.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks, everybody.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Jefferies, that concludes today's conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect the line. Thank you.